Would you mind standing for a short prayer? Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day, for this opportunity to worship you. We pray your blessing on the preaching of the word. May your word sink down deeply into our hearts and into our lives. Again, Father, we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for you. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I have a number of qualities that my father had. Certainly in the physical realm, my hands and my feet look like monkey paws. And I find that sometimes I'll clear my throat or cough and it sounds like him. It's very odd. But yet, as you know, some of you know, there's a lot of his qualities I didn't get. And probably if there's anyone that I look the most like, bless his heart, is my grandfather on my mother's side. In fact, my mom will look at me sometimes. She can't see very well anymore, but she'll look at me and she'll say, "You look just like Daddy." And it's true, especially the older I get. Look just like Forrest Bedford Teague, my grandfather on my mother's side. In fact, looking at some of those older pictures, if you've been if you've been keeping up with the reading in the one word devotion, then it might be said regarding my grandfather and myself, I am his spitting image. I look that much like him. And the older I get, look at the pictures, I'm like, there I am. Jesus was the spitting image of the Father. In fact, the Bible says he is the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1:15. Jesus said to his disciples who sought to see the Father, he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." John 14 and verse 9. He said, "I and my Father are one," John 10. In verse 30, Jesus is the Logos, he's the Word. In human form, he declares to us what God is really like. God the Father. Do you wonder what God the Father is really like? You see him in the Son. How does God interact with people? How does he feel about people? What would he do if he were here in the midst of people, the Father? What the Son did explains to us what the Father would do. The love of the Son for us shows the love of the Father on our behalf. And we can just keep going as far as that's concerned. But Jesus was the spitting image of the Father. He is, not was, but he is. When I think about passages that show and detail who God the Father is, where we really get to see into the heart of God, there are two passages that typically come to mind. We're going to look at one this morning. One, not the one we're looking at, is Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. Where you see, as was in the reading, the longing and looking and running, compassionate, loving Father. That's the picture of God himself. Remember, the prodigal took his inheritance, journeyed to a far country, squandered his goods, wound up in the pig pen, came home. If you want to understand the heart of God, look at the Father in the parable. He so very well pictures for us the heart of God. And there's nothing more important than knowing God as Father. And again, thinking about the readings, there are two fathers between whom we must choose. There's God the Father, we'll do his will, or we'll do the will of the devil, who is the father of lies. John 8 and verse 44. Remember, Jesus said to the Jews, "You're of your father the devil." We have to make that decision every day. Who shall we trust? God is the one who provides. He's the one who loves us. The second passage that I think really gets at the heart of God, who he is the model prayer. I went back and looked at my records, and I've preached on the model prayer twice at AU. It's about to be number 3. But completely different as far as the presentation, or at least I hope it is. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Now, when we pray, how often do we pray, "Oh, Father"? Or, "Father, I come to you at this time. Father, we come before your throne of grace. Father." We're accustomed to that. But when you study from Genesis to Malachi, it's interesting that God's only referred to as Father a couple of times. Let that sink in for a second. Only a couple times. Now, once you get into the New Testament, we find God referred to as Father well over 60 times. You say, where are you going with this? When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "In this manner, therefore, pray," it was revolutionary in many, many ways. Because generally, for the Jew, the title to pray to God would be Adonai, or Lord. But when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, remember in Luke's account, they said, "Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And again, when we look at the address, since he's instructing all of them, "In this manner pray, our Father." Now, as we think about that title or designation for God, the first person of the Godhead, let's think about the implications of this idea of God as Father. The church is a community. But more than just a community, the church is a family. We're not bound together by the blood of kinship, physically, but by the blood of Christ, which is a greater bond. And the Bible teaches that the church is the house of God, 1 Timothy 3:15. And once we enter into the church through obedience to the gospel, like those in Acts 2 who repented of their sins and were baptized for the remission of them, the Bible says, Acts 2:47, those like-minded ones who all did the same thing, adhering to the same gospel message, the saved were added to the number or the church. There's another description we could use for that, verse 47 of Acts 2. They entered into a family arrangement with God. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren, Hebrews 2:11 and 12. He proved that based on what he did for us. Brethren is brothers and sisters. What does that mean? Jesus is our brother. He's more than that, but he is. Because now we've been adopted into this family. And our Father is God. And every other individual who's also a member of the household of faith, Ephesians 2:19, is a brother or a sister in Christ, privy to all of the blessings and all of the riches of God's inheritance. Now think about this for a second. For a time, the Bible says that we were enemies of God in our minds by wicked works, deserving of His wrath poured out upon us. But rather than destroying us, He allowed His own Son to die for us, that not only might we be forgiven, but that we might enter into His family. Let that sink in for a second. It would be one thing if God said, "Okay, I care enough for you to allow my Son to die. That's enough." I mean, we could praise God from here on just based on that. But it's even more than that. He said, "Not only will I forgive you for what you've done, but I'll bring you into a relationship with me. And you can call me Father." Abba, Father, in the most tenderest of ways, or the most tender of ways, pardon me. He's our Father. Now I want you to, I'll put it this way. I'll think about my own father. He was a good man, certainly. Provided for us, loved us, no doubt about it. Didn't say it much, that just wasn't his thing. But as good of a father as he wasn't perfect. He was better than most, at least in my estimation. But he wasn't perfect. But despite his imperfections, I could depend on him. But he was still a human being. As good of a father as my dad was, he doesn't compare to having God as my heavenly Father. Because God is perfect. God always does the right thing. Our Father in heaven never makes any mistakes. Our best interests are always at heart, and He has the ability, as we'll note here in just a few minutes, to carry out whatever needs to be done every time, always, for our good, our best interest, as it pertains to His overall will. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. What a privilege to be able to call God Father. It would be one thing if we could just simply say, God, You're my God, and we can. What did Thomas say when he inspected the wounds of Jesus? My Lord and my God. But more than that, God says, I will bless you with the privilege of entering into a family relationship with Me, and you can call Me Father. I don't know if we wrap our heads around that idea very much. We have entered into a communal relationship with God, a family relationship. Jesus is our brother. He's our Father. The Spirit is our Comforter, and every other person who's obeyed the truth is our brother or sister in Christ. None of us deserve that. So looking at this idea of God as Father from the model prayer, look at the address, our Father who art in heaven. Think about the idea of community and family and relationship and what that means. But secondly, based on something we said a moment ago, when you think of God as Father, consider His perfection, His character. Our Father who is in heaven. Depends on your translation. How does yours read? Hallowed be Your name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know we've mentioned this before, but it always makes me stop and think. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He said, address God as Father. That's revolutionary. And in addressing God as Father, think of the benefit, but also think of who you're addressing. The Hallowed One. Does anybody have any other translation say something any different? Hallowed be Thy name. The idea is something like this. Holy are You. Holy art Thou. You alone are God. You know, we need to remember, and I think this is important, God is our Father and He loves us. And there is that intimacy that goes along with that arrangement, but never forget who He is. Never forget that the one we address in prayer, yes, He's our Father, yes, He loves us, yes, He's good, but He's God. He's not to be dealt with lightly. He's not to be trifled with. He's not to be taken or spoken to flippantly. But rather, He is God. The Bible says we can come boldly before His throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The God of the universe beckons us into a relationship with Him. But we need to remember He's the God of the universe, and I'm not. His character is perfect. Again, I use my own father as an illustration. My dad was a good man, but he wasn't perfect. My dad had the best intentions, but they didn't always play out. God is perfect. Perfect in His love. Perfect in His righteousness. Perfect in His holiness. Perfect in His goodness. Perfect in everything. Remember who He is and consider His character. Some of us had excellent fathers, but none can compare with the God of heaven. And He says, I am your Father. Something else to consider. Think about His care. Notice in the prayer, we can petition God for all that we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Regarding all the physical things of life, we can ask God. All the necessities. In fact, He wants us to ask Him. Cast all your cares upon Me. I care for you, 1 Peter 5:7. But notice if you drop down in Matthew 6 to about verse 30, 31 of Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus urges His followers not to worry, well, why is it that I don't need to worry? Because God's my Father. And if I'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He'll take care of me. In fact, He takes care of people who don't. The rain that falls from heaven, the sunshine that blesses the world and everything else that goes with it, that's God's care. But to us, in a special way, special providence, He says, you seek first the kingdom, I'll always be with you. I'll take care of you and everything. But notice something. What does verse 30 through 32 tell us? I think it's 32. He says, for your heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask. Now, most parents can anticipate to some degree what their kids need before they ask, right? But God perfectly anticipates all that we need. And He'll always provide. I was young, but now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What's the idea there? God takes care of His own. He always does. Think about His care. Certainly think about this community we're in. Think about His great character, but think about His care. He takes care of all that we need as far as our physical necessities are concerned. But most importantly, He provides what we need the most. What is that? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, our sins, our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us, our debtors. Again, verses 14 and 15, very important. We have to pursue that forgiving heart if we want to be forgiven by God, right? But notice that God provides our spiritual needs. As frail human beings, there's nothing we need more than the blood of Christ and the forgiveness that God offers. We need nothing more than that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. We know the passage. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way, forgive us our debts. If He said pray that, what's the implication? God will answer that prayer. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His care covers the gamut, all of it, physical, spiritual. In fact, if you're in Him, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is yours. Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will take care of you. We sing that song, don't we? Do we believe it when we sing it? We can, because God is Father. We've been positioned in this community. We have this perfect God who provides the best of care always in every instance. Now here's the last point that goes along with this. Why is it that I can trust that God will take care of me? You say, well, Bill, you've basically already answered the question because of His character. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible, even our own experience, if we look back over our lives, why we're here this morning in this place is because of God's continual providential care. Can you see that in your life? You might not be able to name it, but you know it, right? Well, why is it that we can always trust that whatever He desires for us, which is always best, as our Father, that's what we're really focusing on, will always transpire the way that it should? Notice the prayer as it opens. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's this prayer where we pray to God that His will might be done here, as it is where He is. Well, where does that start? Thy will be done. It starts with me. It starts with you. So I pray, thy will be done, so that I'll be about the business of pursuing His will in all that I do, right? But notice there's a slight implication in that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The implication is God's will shall be done. Why? Because of how Paul closes the prayer. He takes care of our spiritual needs. He'll forgive us. In fact, he says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God has the power and the ability, again, to provide the way of escape, to providentially care for us, to lead us home. We keep pursuing His will. He will finish what He started in us, Philippians 1:6. He'll work in us as we work out our salvation. He will lead us home. We pray along the lines continually. But notice he says at the very end of the prayer, Jesus says, pray this way. And in the finishing remarks, He says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What's being said there? God is great. God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. And if all of that's true, and if God is your Father, and you can always trust and know and lean upon the concepts that are in this prayer, that He will accept you as a son or a daughter, that He will provide your physical and your spiritual needs, and ultimately, He'll lead you home to glory. When you look at the model prayer, it's apparent that the God we serve is just as the prophet Nahum said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. God is good. Ralph, you probably heard this before. I've been to 3 different African countries, and they do it almost everywhere I go. The one who opens the service will say, God is good. Then all of the members will say, all the time. It's just something they do. God is good. You better believe it. And He can be your Father. Anything better than that? Nope. But to be God's son or daughter, you have to enter into the family. You have to trust Him. Believe that what Jesus did was enough. And responding in faith, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, you can be baptized into Him, born again into the family of God. And everything's ready for that. We can help you this morning. And if you're not a Christian, you can leave here and call out to God as Father. But remember, if you're not His son or daughter, you don't have that luxury. But He extends it to you even now as we stand and sing.